US President Donald Trump says the US is having, quote, good talks with Iran right now, just hours after saying that he was ready for a return to military action should diplomacy fail. It comes as both sides have paused hostilities for a third day following 2 weeks of sustained attacks.
I have plenty of time. Plenty of time. Their whole shoreline's wiped out. The strait is in very good shape. And we're talking right now. You know, they wanted to talk. Their people said, please don't drop, don't shoot last night, the night before, 2 nights. Don't do it. You know, we're having good talks.
It's US President Donald Trump speaking to reporters on Air Force One overnight. Well, Kelly Grieco is a senior fellow at the Reimagining US Grand Strategy Program at the Stimson Center. I spoke to her earlier. Kelly, the Trump administration has halted strikes to allow for further talks to take place. Is that the full story?
It's fairly hard to assess, quite honestly. I think it's undoubtedly one of the factors. The Iranians, the Omanis, met over the weekend to try to come up with some agreement around administration of the Strait of Hormuz. And that seems to have been a big factor. But there are other things, you know, also pressing in on the administration, including U.S. stockpile shortages.
The U.S. media outlet Axios reported on Sunday that top U.S. military commander in the region, Admiral Bradley Cooper, had told Donald Trump that the recent U.S. military campaign had reached the limits of its effectiveness. What do you think about that reporting?
Yes, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear this. If you think about the problem set the military is dealing with, it's been trying to use air power to strike at these coastal sites where there's radars and missile batteries along the coast near the strait and also these speedboats. One of the challenges, though, is that these four deployed assets Iran has, they have many replacements deeper underground for them. And so we might be able to attack, you know, the things that are close to the coast, but as soon as we leave, the Iranians are able to easily replace those. And so there's a bit of a mowing the lawn going on here that isn't really leading to a clear, decisive end and outcome. And I think that's what Admiral Cooper was getting at.
Kelly, we've also seen New York Times reporting about diminishing stockpiles of US ammunition, that may have influenced President Trump's decision to stop the most recent offensive on Iran. Often the stockpile issue is linked to precautions in the Asia Pacific, particularly if there's any conflict with China. Is that linking accurate and based on fact, or would there be different kinds of weapons that would be used in that kind of conflict?
No, I mean, I think there is clear linking. I would just say I think there's two things the administration's dealing with around these shortages. One is really just in the short term and thinking about the Middle East, that without interceptors to defend against Iranian missile and drone threats, you're going to increase the casualties to U.S. forces. And this is a deeply unpopular war here at home. And then the second that you highlight is really the long-term strategic implications. The United States is relying on very valuable and scarce missile interceptors in the Middle East. And it's also relying a lot on long-range systems it's using to strike Iran. And so those two in particular, the missile defense systems and also the long-range strike capabilities, are the very things that you would want to potentially, you would need to use if there were to be a contingency in the Indo-Pacific. So there are real trade-offs. They're unavoidable here.
Kelly, looking at publicly available information, what's the understanding of stockpiles at the moment?
Yes, I mean, we don't have a complete picture, you know, because we don't know exactly what's been used, but we can make some estimates. And I will just say that the numbers themselves of what the United States has purchased is available in U.S. budget documents. So if you're a nerd like myself, you can go back and you can trace this information. What we know based on just sort of what the administration said about the number of strikes and the number of things it's intercepted, it looks like we've cut in deeply, in particular, into Patriot and THAAD interceptor stockpiles. Probably about half of Patriot interceptor stockpile, global stockpile, has been used up in this war, which is remarkable. And then we've also gone through some really critical systems like Tomahawk systems, JASMs, that are used to strike at range.
What do we know about the capacity of the defense industrial sector to replace some of these munitions?
Yes. I mean, this is what the administration's answer has been to these concerns as well. We're trying to ramp up, you know, we're working to ramp up production. And that is true. They are doing some of those things to ramp up production. The process is that it's slow. It's not as simple as turning on an on switch. in part because there are a number of bottlenecks in this process, including the critical minerals that actually need to come from China, trying to import those. Also, some of the components of these systems are scarce, and it may be a mom and pop shop that builds some of these components, and they can't really ramp up production as quickly as we would like. And then you really need new lines at factories to make these and to be able to increase in a significant way your production. But that doesn't happen overnight because these are sophisticated munitions. And so you really need to train people on how to make them.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is visiting the White House this week. What message are we expecting from him to President Trump?
Yes, I mean, I would imagine the first thing he wants to do is be able to convey publicly here, that there's a alignment still between the United States and Israel, because I think that's been strained more in recent weeks. But I would say the biggest message will certainly want to be, asserting what Israeli interests are. And I would imagine for Israel in particular, the biggest concern is probably not the Strait of Hormuz. It's probably Iran's nuclear program, which still remains intact. And it will be interesting to see how the administration navigates that, because I would argue it's really concerned at this point even more so with the Strait of Hormuz.
Kelly Grieco, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.